Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So if you've watched any serial dramas on television of late, like House of the Dragon, The Rings of Power, or Better Call Saul, I bet you're familiar with a certain phrase that begins almost every episode. Previously on House of the Dragon. And then comes the one-minute recap to catch you up on key elements of previous episodes to prepare you for the one you are about to watch. As we approach this story from Genesis on Rally Sunday with all we have to look forward to this fall and year, and as we enter into a sermon series to better understand what it means to believe, belong, and become, we might do much the same. Previously in Genesis, there is the story of God's good creation, where God creates and blesses the world and everything in it. And previously in Genesis is the story of the fall of Adam and Eve, the story that tries to explain why there is evil and suffering in that good world. These stories are important because they paint the history of the world and the story of humanity with the biggest brushstrokes possible. Today's story, by contrast, zooms into focus on just one person and gives us an intimate picture of what the life of faith looks like. That person is Abraham, a wealthy landowner and rancher who, when he was 75 years old, was paid a visit by God. During that visit, God told Abraham to leave his land and home and travel to a new country far away, and that God would give that land to Abraham and that his descendants would live there forever. And Abraham went, taking with him his wife Sarah and all of their household. Now, it's been a pretty amazing story up to this point, filled with some ups and downs, some narrow escapes, and some close calls. Eventually, Abraham and Sarah make it to their destination and begin to settle down when God comes to visit a second time, in the passage Pastor Hammerston just read. Once again, God declares God's plans to bless Abraham. This time, though, the story plays out a little differently. Previously in Genesis, you see, in the 12th chapter to be exact, which describes the first time God came to Abraham, God says, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and your name will be great, so that you will be a blessing." And then the story continues with three words that are as remarkable as they are few. So Abraham went. No doubt, no questions, no conditions. God promises, and Abraham simply trusts, obeys, and goes. This time, though, a few years later, while God's speech is pretty much the same, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great," Abraham's response is quite different. "Oh, Lord God," he says, "what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Previously in Genesis, you see, we learn that Abraham and Sarah had no children, and at 75 years old, we're pretty sure they would never have children, which in the ancient world wasn't just disappointing, but was considered a curse. No children to inherit your wealth, no children to continue your line, no children to remember you when you were gone. The calculus on these matters in the ancient world was clear and cold. No children, no family. No family, no future. Which might just be why Abraham was willing to follow God's kind of crazy command in the first place. Leave everything and everyone I know to go off to a far-off land I've never even heard of? But wait. Did you say I would have children and descendants and blessing? Let's go. But it hasn't happened yet, and Abraham's not ready to swallow the Lord's promises quite so quickly this time round. In fact, he pushes his point home. You have given me no offspring, he complains, and so one of my servants will be my heir. Sometimes believing comes pretty easy. You hear God's promises and you just believe. Maybe it's because life is going pretty well already, or maybe it was just the promise you needed to hear at that moment. But sometimes God's promises can be very hard to believe, even if you really want to, or have tried to, or have prayed to. Maybe, for instance, you've prayed for children, and that prayer wasn't answered. Or maybe you prayed that your child would escape addiction or get into a healthier relationship. Or maybe you prayed for a better job or a more hopeful future or a kinder marriage. Or maybe you just hope for good health, for a cure, only to have recurrence instead. Sometimes believing is easy, and sometimes believing is really hard. Now, interestingly, God's response to Abraham's skepticism, complaint, and doubt is no different than God's response to his belief. God doesn't get mad or frustrated or threaten to cast Abraham aside if he doesn't get a better attitude. Instead, God just repeats the promise, this time making it more tangible and more personal. This man will not be your heir, God reassures Abraham. No one but your very own child will be your heir. And then, in a moment of tender patience and care, God brings Abraham outside and says, almost in a whisper, I imagine, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you can even count them. So shall your descendants be. And then the narrator of Genesis continues, Abraham believed the Lord. Now, just to be clear, Abraham and Sarah won't actually have that child for another 20 years when he is on the verge of turning 100, which means I am pretty sure there were other times when Abraham found faith hard, when he found it easier to doubt rather than trust in God's promises. But I wonder how many times when, just as he was about to give up on God, he'd walk outside again and try to count the stars over his head. And with this tangible reminder flung wide across the sky, find a measure of both comfort and courage and discover he could believe once again. God promises that Abraham's descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and history has proven that promise trustworthy. As Abraham and Sarah will have Isaac, child of the promise, and Isaac will have Jacob and Esau, and Jacob will have 12 children that grow into the tribes of Israel, and one of those descendants, Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, descended through Joseph all the way back to Abraham, will declare God's mercy and grace to all the world and be the blessing God spoke about so long ago. And you know what? That story isn't over yet, because through our baptism into Jesus, you and I are now counted as children of the promise and descendants of Abraham. You and I, that is, represent and make up some of those stars in the sky God talked about so many centuries ago. Our story, the story of this congregation, is now woven together with that of Abraham, so much so that we might say, previously at Mount Olivet, 19 adults and 14 children believed they were called by God to start a new congregation, and they did. Previously at Mount Olivet, faithful pastors and congregation members believed God was calling them to start ministries of all kinds and grow a congregation to be a beacon of hope and help in Southwest Minneapolis and Victoria. Previously at Mount Olivet, God guided this same congregation through a global pandemic, while increasing their reach, growing their membership, and extending their outreach into the community. That story isn't finished, which means that we don't know all that will happen next, what kind of year we will have, what God might ask us to risk, attempt, and dare. We don't know what opportunities or hardships or challenges may come our way, but we do know that God will always be with us, among us, and for us. And that matters, because sometimes believing God's promises is easy. And when that's true, come here to church in order to give thanks and to let your faith shine as bright as a star in heaven. Sometimes, though, believing God's promises is hard. And when that's true, come here to church and see some of those stars of the heavens now scattered throughout this congregation. God has given us to each other, you see, precisely so that we can remind each other that though sometimes it feels like it takes an awfully long time, God always keeps God's promises. Previously in Genesis, God made some extraordinary promises to Abraham, called him to be and do more than he could imagine, and gave him reminders all around to help keep him in faith. Previously at Mount Olivet, God made and kept some extraordinary promises too. And God is not done. God is still doing that right here, right now, still making promises, still calling us to be and do more than we'd imagined, still giving us each other as reminders, still keeping us in faith, still helping us believe, belong, and become. Thanks be to God. Amen.